Once again, greetings to you all in Christ's most holy name. I'm very glad to see many of you making an effort to come back to join us in the evening worship. I know that you have a very tiring morning. This evening, just like what we have started for our morning worship, we are beginning a new series of study on the book of Proverbs. After much contemplation again, I thought that the Old Testament book of Proverbs would be edifying for all of us. So to commence this series, we are going to look firstly at chapter 1, verses 8 to 19. It is not possible for us during this very brief hour to consider every single passage in this book without causing weariness to our mind and to our spirit, and I'm sure thereafter, if I do so, all of you will start agreeing to me and saying amen to everything that I say to you. So therefore, our study will take us through some, not all and not every of the passages, but some of the main passages of this book, and hopefully through this brief consideration, you will be encouraged to thereafter do your own detailed study of this ancient book of wisdom which the Lord has given to us. In the study of the book of Proverbs, many have considered it to be a discourse on how to live a morally upright life, and that it has no spiritual significance. Well, I like to suggest that this is far from the truth, and the intention of this book of wisdom which God has given to us. The writings of Proverbs is credited mostly to King Solomon, but it also includes King Lemuel, as we can see in chapter 31, verses 1 to 9, and also the son of Jakar, I think that's how you pronounce it, by the name of Agu, A-G-U, and that you can find out in chapter 30. There are about, or should I say to be precise, 3,000 proverbs, 1,005 songs, and it covers a broad range of topics emphasizing the acceptable moral and religious behavior of God's people. It is true that the book of Proverbs contains moral advice or advice on non-spiritual aspect of life, but I'd like to submit to you that behind all these moral advices or spiritual application, and the significance of this wisdom is to show us this: a life of foolishness without God and a life of fruitfulness and true blessedness with God. I repeat, the spiritual application of this book and the significance of this wisdom is to show us a life of folly, a life of foolishness without God, and a life of fruitfulness and true blessedness with God. When we consider the books of Proverbs, we must note that it is like parables. It has illustration and pictures. And the parables, illustration and pictures is attached to each of the verses. The other point we need to know when meditating on this book, on the precepts of this book, is to keep in mind the cast, members of the cast, as though in a play. Identify who are the members of the cast and what are their roles. Keeping that cast members in mind, at the back of our mind, will help us to understand the Proverbs better and to draw spiritual lessons from it. For example, the main cast member of chapter 1 to 7 is the son. And the setting of the whole background is that of a farm life. The son, being young, being immature, is to receive instructions from the Father on how to occupy his life. He is not to be idle, to be lazy, and not getting work done, but he is to get the work done on the farm, and not to be distracted by the many attractions and the lure of the world, or from his duties and responsibilities, which if he does so, if he neglects his duties and responsibility, it will result in poverty for him. So from here, we can draw spiritual application, which I would like to show later on from our study of chapter 1, verses 8 to 19. So in the whole book of Proverbs, though we see little mention of God, yet, we cannot miss the main theme of this wisdom book, which is the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Those who want to live a truly fruitful, blessed, and a meaningful life will never be able to do so unless and until he or she has the fear of the Lord in his or her heart. This fear is not a servile fear. It's not a fear of punishment, a fear of wrath, a fear of hell, a fear of damnation, but a filial fear, a reverential fear toward God. It is knowledge of God. It is knowledge of God that come only by grace through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Without this reverential fear, without this true knowledge of God, of who God is, there can never be a meaningful, blessed, and a fruitful life for each one of us. We may achieve a lot in this life. We may gain all the wealth, all the fame, according to man's standard. We may be praised and commended by men, but when we put all our achievement on the weighing scale or on God's weighing scale, it avails to nothing if we do not have the true knowledge of God and fear him. In fact, Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived on this earth, in conclusion, said this in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. I read, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And I'd like to add that. So you see from here that this book, again, is not for the non-believers. It is for the believers. It is for us who are in Christ to glean from all these Proverbs so as to help us to know who God is and to fear him. Turning now back to our text, please turn to Proverbs chapter 1 and keep that chapter open. We have the following cast members. Firstly, the son, you see in verse 8, verse 10, verse 15. And then, of course, secondly, we see the street gangs, or you can call it the wicked ones, in verse 10 and 11. And then, of course, in verses 11 and to 14, we see their evil plot, their scheme. And then finally, in verses 18 to 19, I call it the price for wickedness or the consequence of wickedness. First of all, we are instructed here in verse 8 to hear. Hear the instruction given to us. Firstly, we are to hear, and the instruction comes from the father and mother. In other words, we can say that God is instructing us through our parents, who have the God-given authority to give us wise counsel, and particularly to give us spiritual counsel. The reason why we are to hear or to take heed of the instruction, of their instruction, is because they are, our parents are God's representative. They are vested with godly authority, and if their words are heeded, it will not only do us good, but it will adore on us, as it were, an everlasting and precious ornament which signifies honor and maturity. So it is for us who are God's people. Yes, God used various means to reveal His will for our lives. And of course, the main channel of instruction God is giving to us is in His Holy Word. And through perhaps others, like our parents or our matured brethren in Christ. Time and again you will find this in these words in the Bible. God saying to His people what? Hear my words. And this is for us. Secondly, we want to move on very quickly. And that is the warnings or the instruction given to us in verses 10 to 18. The warning or the instruction issued to us is on enticement. And I suggest that it is not just enticement from the physical things in this world, but spiritually speaking, enticement from the evil one. For we who are in Christ will know for certain that time and again we are bombarded with many things in this life, and Satan always tries to entice us with things that look so spiritual, so good, so noble. Let us look at verses 10 to 14. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us love privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lots among us. Cast in thy lots among us. Let us all have one purse. We can glean from these verses that we are warned about street gangs or ending up in wrong company. Yes, this is the teaching here. But then I want to draw out the spiritual significance for that for those of us who are Christian, particularly those of us who are young in faith. That is why the son here can be referred to one who is young in faith. And that is why you see Solomon mentioned in earlier in verse 4 to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. And of course, the young man here can also refer to those who are young in spiritual understanding, who are spiritually weak perhaps. And of course, the sense cannot be just be restricted to the young or spiritually young, but even to those who are wise or more mature in the faith. So this enticement can be from the world, from wrong company, yes, but it is more so, I would say, enticement from the evil one, to draw us away from the things of God, to draw us away from the ways of God, to walk in the ways of the world, which will only give us temporal satisfaction, to keep us away from things spiritual that will occupy our minds and our hearts, and that will keep our focus on God and our relationship with Him. That's what the evil one wants to do. That's what the evil one wants to draw us away, to entice us, to tell us that it is fine. Well, if you're tired and you cannot do your quiet time and read your Bible, you can have another day. There's always a tomorrow. Never mind if you cannot serve the Lord in this area. Well, do your best. And is that really our best? We've got to ask ourselves sometimes. And that's what the evil one will always try to do to us. He will always place before us things that that seem so nice, so good, so right, so scriptural, so to speak, so biblical, but we do not examine it in depth. We do not go and search the Word of God to find out whether all these are so. Then in verse 15, we are told the appeal is again given to the son. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. So you see that this appeal is given. And here I would like to say that the book of Proverbs is a sympathetic book, the ultimate storehouse of wisdom. The book of Proverbs does not, as it were, breathe down on us, breathe into our throats in its instruction like a tyrant. Its approach is gentle, but yet firm in its pleading. It comes to us like a father coming to a son, appealing to him or her, speaking words of wisdom, telling the son or the daughter what is the right way. It does not come with, in a sense, with like a dictator, but it comes with an appeal. It comes with a plea. It comes with a sympathetic voice. So the son, the spiritually young ones, are told not to be fooled, not to be tricked by all this enticement, no matter how good, no matter how noble it may be. The means does not justify the end. We are to be careful so that we will not trick. In fact, we are told to what? To watch unto prayer. To be sober. To be vigilant. To be watchful. And so it is for us that we are to walk. And the word there, to walk, is to be led by or moved by them. So we are not to be led by them. We are not to be moved by them or compelled by them. Rather, we are commanded here to do what? To refrain. The word refrain in the original, in the it is in the imperative mood. And that is again to tell us that it is a commandment for us to keep away, to move away from all this enticement, whatever form it may come to us. Brethren, we need help. Oftentimes, we are so blinded. Oftentimes, we very quickly and very easily imbibe into our minds, into our hearts, things that look so spiritual. It's all right. Other churches are practicing it. Why should we not do so? It is working, isn't it? We see result. People are coming. Therefore, praise the Lord. The Lord must be blessing our work. That is why you see so many people come. Oh, therefore people, churches like ours here. Oh, so little people. We have only 10 or 15 who come for the evening worship. The Lord must be cursing our work. But friends, be very careful. We ought to search and ask God for help. We need to go on our knees to ask that the Lord will open our eyes, our spiritual eyes, to see what is truly good and pleasing to God for us. Do not be deceived by many of these teachings, of these practices in so many churches. Oh, I feel good after coming to church. Yeah, then you see him. Oh, I'm so touched by his testimony, by her testimony. Therefore, this person must be spiritual, must be growing in the Lord. Friends, you want to know whether you are truly a believer? You want to know whether I'm truly a believer? Just ask God to whack us and to send us sicknesses, tsunami, family problems, whack us, take away from our job, take away from our family, perhaps take away the lives of our children, our parents, or whatever, our loved one, and then you will see who are really Christians, who are really in the Lord. You will not see when you hear, oh, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Everyone can say that. And so do not be deceived by all this, and then you imbibe all this, and you think, well, I'm walking close with the Lord. We need to ask God, the Holy Spirit, to help us, to enlighten us so that we can discern what is biblical truth from error, what is right from wrong, so that we can discern the activities, those activities that are wholesome or unwholesome, activities that are pleasing to God that we should continue to practice and exercise. We are to know and discern the things that will glorify God and truly benefits our soul. Do not be taken by all these that are going around you. It is very easy to say and to see rather that this work must be blessed of the Lord and these people must be truly Christian. You never can tell. Only time can tell. Thirdly, we come to verses 18 to 19. Finally, in verses 18 to 19, we are shown the consequence for not heeding God's warning to us. Brethren, whatever we want to gain in this life, whether good or bad, there is always a price to pay. Money does not drop down from heaven, so to speak, or from the sky. You want more money? You work for it. From the sweat of your brow. That is the warning from the Word of God. You want more wealth? You got to pay a price. Sure, you will get the wealth. Whatever means. You want spiritual growth? You want righteousness? There is no shortcut. You can get instant noodle, but you can never get instant holiness and righteousness in God. So therefore, you have to pay a price. Galatians 6:7 says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Brethren, there is no escape from this truth here, and the warning to us is very, very clear. If you and I desire and want a fruitful, blessed, and meaningful life in the Lord Jesus Christ, we must be willing to put in the effort to seek after Him. There is no shortcut, there is no another way. There's only one way. Patiently seeking the Lord daily, denying self, following Him, after Him, faithfully. There is no other way where we can escape this truth. We want holiness. It is more time, more energy, more effort in seeking God. Do not mourn and lament. Why are you spiritually weak? Why are you not able to overcome the many temptations in this life? It's very simple. It's a simple equation. Our holiness and our righteousness is in direct proportion to our input of scripture and the prayer life and walking with the Lord. That is as simple as it is. Jesus says in Matthew 10 verses 38 to 39, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find. The secret to a fruitful, blessed and meaningful life in our short pilgrim journey here is in Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And also, lastly, to fear God and to keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Brothers and sisters in Christ, let us be very watchful. Let us be very careful. Every day we are going to face with many enticements. Every day we are going to fight this spiritual battle. There is no way out. We who are truly in the Lord Jesus Christ, who are saved, bought by the blood of Christ, will have our spiritual battle and struggle. And that is why Paul used words like what? Soldier, athlete. Why? This morning we have already considered that true salvation, after salvation rather, it is not the end of it. There is a struggle. There is the fighting to be done. And that is why the church is called the church militant. And there is the race to run, a course to keep. And therefore, there is a price to pay for discipleship. And here we are warned, yes, we are instructed here concerning the things, the moral aspect of life on this earth, but more so, let us pay attention to the spiritual lessons here. The attraction of the world, yes, it is very real, but let us not forget the attraction that the evil one will put before us from time to time. And therefore, we ought to watch, not only for those who are young in faith, who are spiritually immature, but also for those who are wise, who are matured in faith, that we ought to watch and to be very careful how we live our lives so that we will not be drawn in. And then the end result is the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for this brief study and consideration of the book of Proverbs. We pray, Father in heaven, for your Spirit's guidance, and we ask that you will bring to remembrance what we have heard this morning and this evening. Lord, we pray that you will cause thy word not to return unto you void, but that, Lord, it may take roots in the hearts of all the hearers, including the preacher. Lord, we pray that you will help us to seek after thee while you may be found. O Father in heaven, help us to make the right choice, to choose Christ and not the world. O Lord, we ask that you will grant us grace and strength to repent of our sin, to turn away from our sinful ways, to repent of those areas of our lives that we have sinned. O Lord, help us, I pray. And as we begin the new week, we ask that you will be with us, your people, to encourage, to comfort, to direct, and to strengthen us for your own namesake. In Jesus' name. Amen.